Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
What if sports were traded like markets? Now you can put your sports IQ to work in real time with Robinhood Prediction Markets. It's not you against the house. It's you participating in a live market. You can buy or sell your positions live, all game long. You use your sports knowledge in the moments that matter. Robinhood Prediction Markets changes the game. It's people moving the action. So when momentum shifts, you can move with it. I always knew the game, but never had a dynamic way to apply that knowledge. Now, I can actually take part live in a market powered by people. You're no longer just a spectator. Play by play, you decide. Trade every play with Robinhood. Now available across the U.S. Download the Robinhood app now to begin. Futures and cleared swaps trading involves significant risk and is not appropriate for everyone. Event contracts are offered by Robinhood Derivatives, LLC, a registered futures commission merchant and swap firm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We'll do the picks. I got to find if Nico knows where my football music is. We'll go through it a little bit. Really, I mean, we'll pick the two locals, although I don't know if it matters. And we'll do the important games. We might just go around the league and talk. I don't even know if I'll give you picks. We'll see. I don't know if it's a tough week to even do picks except for the big games that matter. I don't know how the Giants are going to play it. Hopefully they sit everybody. We'll get to the baseball as well in a little bit. We'll get through what's going on this offseason, what the Mets are doing as Imai, starting pitcher from Japan, signed a 3-year deal with opt-outs after every one of them with the Houston Astros in a contract that you felt like, look, you know, we know it. Here's the one thing I'll say about it before we get to the calls. 888-808-1019. You know, Yankee fans in particular, because, you know, I'm in on Yankee Twitter. I mean, can we cool our jets for a second? Because let's be honest here. I'm disappointed because the contract and the market collapsed on him. I mean, there was reports of him getting upwards of $200 million. And he signed for 18 a year. Guaranteed with incentives to take it up to more than that. But he signed for $18 million a year. And for that, specifically for the Mets, feels like a reasonable contract to give. Now, you do want some guaranteed innings, right? And I'm assuming coming from Japan, as we've seen from other starters, they pitch every 6th day, but I think you can easily transition most guys into every 5th. I think, unfortunately for the Mets, Sang is a guy that clearly can't. But I believe Yamamoto has with the Dodgers, and we just saw what he was able to do in the postseason, pitching every other day practically. He got 3 out of the 4 wins in the World Series. But here's the thing. Like, before we all go crazy and overreact, yeah, it's a contract that fell, and clearly the Yankees are looking for one more starter, and the Mets need starting pitching in the worst way. But before we get all crazy and say these two teams don't care and they're uninterested and the Yankees don't give a damn, it's embarrassing, Hal, sell the team, who do you think they passed on here? The rest of Major League Baseball has told you what they thought of him. The market completely collapsed. It feels like the Astros are taking an $18 million flyer on him. If he pitches even relatively well, he's still young enough where he'll probably opt out and go to hit free agency next year. Like, let's not act like the Yankees and Mets have somehow passed on the offseason because Imai didn't sign. This offseason hasn't really... How many names are out there? More than half of the biggest names at the beginning of the offseason are still out there. The trade market really is still, like, some of the bigger names that we expect to get traded, whether it's Peralta, whether it's Alcantara, whether it's Cabrera with the Marlins, like, all those guys are still out there to be traded. Framber Valdez is still out there to be signed. Reports today that the Mets and Orioles are the two teams that have checked in most on Framber Valdez. There was a report a month ago from Hector Gomez that the Mets were in on him at six years for whatever million. Like, there's still Bellinger, Tucker, Bichette, Bregman, all still out there. It's been a slow-moving offseason, but I got to tell you, the Yankee fans in particular, you're crazy. You know how many Yankee fans hit me up today because they pay, oh, the Yankees are a joke. I'm not going to do anything. It's an embarrassment. They're not even going to be a wild card team. The Yankees right now, I just want to say this. And let me do a little Yankee shilling before I say goodbye to the overnight. And don't worry, my Yankee shilling everyone's concerned about me being myself. There will be plenty of Yankee shilling in the afternoons, I promise you. Because when I hear crap like this, I have no choice but to shill. I took a call on the other day saying the Yankees are dysfunctional. The Yankees, the New York Yankees are dysfunctional. They are the epitome of functional. If you look up functional in the dictionary, it's the New York Yankees. No one throws parades for functional. I get it. I'm not saying, you know what? I love my team. They're really functional. The Jet fans might be willing to say that, but outside of that, no one's throwing parades, getting all excited that their team is functional. Just don't call me and tell me they're dysfunctional because I'm going to fight with you. Because all they do is click off 90-plus wins and make the playoffs every year. Like, they are the epitome of functional. The Steelers in football are the epitome of functional, but the fan base is fed up because they haven't won a championship in forever, haven't won a playoff game in forever. I get it, but you can't call them dysfunctional. All they do is function. And that's the New York Yankees. So please, before you tell me the Yankees stink, before you tell me the Yankees running back a team that wasn't good enough to win, before you tell me the Yankees are a joke, before you tell me Hal needs to sell the team, before you tell me they're not going to make the playoffs, you know what? I don't know. Go look. Right now, they are the second favorites to win the championship behind the Dodgers. They have a 93.5 over-under. You're so positive they're awful? Go make some money. The Yankees are going to the playoffs. The Yankees are going to make moves to at least make this team the same as it was last year. They're most likely going to bring back Bellinger. They're going to trade for a starting pitcher. It's not earth-shattering. It doesn't make them the clear-cut favorite to go to the World Series for the American League, and that should be their goal, and I'm disappointed in how they're behaving in this offseason. But calm yourself down. The idea they passed on Imai, this is not Yamamoto, who they offered $300 million to, by the way. This is not Yamamoto. He is not that kind of prospect, and the rest of baseball told you so. So before we get all pissed off that the Astros are making moves, everyone's getting better. Astros are making moves. Red Sox have gotten better. Blue Jays have gotten better. How exactly? All right, and I'll get back on the Blue Jays of frauds train. Now, they were not frauds last year, but explain to me how the Blue Jays are better. Because they signed an overrated starting pitcher in Dylan Cease. Right now, they don't have Bichette, and they haven't signed Kyle Tucker yet, and there's no guarantee they will. That no minus Bichette, plus two starting pitchers, one who was really great in Korea last year, and the other one, Dylan Cease, who I would tell you is extremely overrated and not worth $30 million. That makes them better than they were last year? But they kicked the Yankees' ass in the playoffs. They certainly did. Let's see if Ernie Clement hits 600 in every postseason series. Let's see if that's just who he is in the postseason every single year. I'm sure he'll break the record for hits next year in the postseason too. I'm sure Vladimir Guerrero, who is a 120 hitter heading into the postseason before this postseason, is just going to be the greatest postseason player of all time every single year. We'll see. We'll see. They've added Cease. They've lost Bichette. How much better have they gotten? The Boston Red Sox are making moves. The Boston Red Sox are getting better. They added Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras, but they've lost Bregman. Are they that much better? Is Sonny Gray that much better? Is Contreras that much better than Bregman? The Astros didn't make the playoffs last year. They just wanted a pitcher that nobody else wanted to sign. Everybody, cool your jets. The Yankees aren't going to go out and have this big blockbuster offseason where you're going to have all these new toys, and it's going to be this, oh my God, they've clearly went out and spent $350 million, and now they're the favorites to win the whole damn thing. No, they're not. But the team last year that you hated won 94 games as much as anybody else in the American League. They're going to get Cole back from injury. They're going to trade for another starter, and they're going to bring Bellinger back. I would think. And if not, they're going to have one bat here. I don't know who it's going to be. If it's not Bellinger, I still don't think it'll be Bichette, and that's the other story from today, that the Yankees checked on Bichette. I doubt very much the Yankees signed Bichette. That would be my offseason. My offseason, honestly, would be sign Bellinger, sign Bichette, trade for Freddie Peralta. That would be my offseason if I were the Yankees. And if I lost out on Bellinger, then I would trade for Donovan or I'd trade for Kwan if available. But my offseason would be sign Bellinger, sign Bichette, trade for a starting pitcher. I would trade for Freddie Peralta for 1 year. I think that makes them the clear favorite in the American League. Just bringing back Bellinger and trading for a starting pitcher doesn't. But it's still a playoff team. It's still one of the better teams, if not the best team in the American League. And it's going to come down to what it always comes down to. Will they play well in the postseason? So relax. And for the Mets, if I were a Met fan, I'd be more disappointed in Imai getting this contract, not from the Mets, and then I would be as a Yankee fan, just because they need the starting pitching. And I know he's not an ace, and that's what they need. I get it. And everybody else showed you this, that a lot of teams weren't that interested in him. We'll see what he is. That still goes for the Mets, too. I'm not saying the Mets are idiots for not signing him. I get it. A lot of teams didn't want him. I guess he's not projecting to have his skills translate the way Yamamoto did, or anywhere near the way Yamamoto did. But the only issue is it seems like a contract that would have worked for the Mets, and they need to add starting pitching somewhere. But we'll see. They're checking in on Kyle Tucker. They obviously are, I would think, in the trade market for a starting pitcher. But it kind of feels like it's all on hold until Tucker or Bellinger start making moves here. And right now, Scott Boras is holding up the damn thing. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Ryan in Brooklyn. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good talking to you, man. Doing good, buddy. I'm a bartender in Hell's Kitchen, man, and mm-hmm. I come home every night, and I get to listen to you, brother, and I'm going to miss you, man. But, I'll still listen to you on my way into work as opposed to my way out. But, I hear a lot of people giving you a lot of love on the radio, and I'll tell you what, that's real genuine love, Chris, man. We love listening to you, brother.
I appreciate that, Ryan. I truly do. And
believe me, I'm telling you, as a kid from Brooklyn, we know real guys listening to you.
Well, so, thank you.
You know, I wish you the best, man, on the new gig.
Thank you very much.
Real quick, I just want to talk quick about the Mets. So, my idea is that I feel like Lindor is a bit of a problem for the Mets, and I think if they could turn around and ship him out to San Diego. Maybe you could bring in Pivetta, maybe bring in Miller with them, and improve not only the bullpen, but you're going to improve your starting rotation. And then at the same time, maybe the Mets get into the Bo Bichette sweepstakes and try to bring him in. He could play shortstop for you, maybe eventually move him over to third if his defense isn't up to par.
Yeah.
And then you go out and maybe try to sign a Kyle Tucker. But RGM, I'm not a big fan of his. He reminds me a lot of Zuckerberg. I feel like he's a robot, maybe an alien or whatever he is. I think he's kind of a heartless guy. He's a pencil pushing geek. But I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't mean. But that's
okay.
Just what I take from him. He was the last guy to get picked in wiffle ball. You know what I mean? And now he's getting back at everybody for it.
Well, I mean, I understand. I don't know if I don't know if I could trade Lindor right now. I need, like, even if you sign Tucker, losing Lindor, adding Tucker isn't enough with what the other you know, losses you've had to the lineup, right? I mean, just it's just not good enough. I would love to have Miller. If you could find a way to make a Miller trade, a Pivetta trade happen, I would rather trade prospects than Lindor. And I know there's been some talk, and now, you know, Lindor's wife, these stories, they, you know, but Lindor, you know, his wife has joined the new mayor's transition team or, you know, something. So brings back the story of politics that Mike talked about that Francesa talked about a few weeks ago or whatever, that Lindor was having problems with Nimmo and politics inside the room, and that was dividing the team. I don't know. But what I do know is that Lindor is one hell of a player. And the thing with Bichette, and I was going to get into this later when we talk Bichette, but even though I want him as a Yankee fan, his defense is atrocious. And I am willing, look, I don't think Volpe should be the starter anymore, but I do think the shoulder impacted his defense a little bit, because that came out of nowhere with how bad he was defensively this year. Like, you want to say he wasn't a goal, he didn't deserve the gold glove his rookie year, fine, but he was still very, very, very good defensive shortstop. The first 2 years of his career, you know, did he have his moments? Sure. I mean, did he have moments, did he have errors in the biggest of moments in the ninth inning and stuff? Yeah, but I mean, on a day-to-day basis, Anthony Volpe was a very good defensive shortstop, and then this year happened. And I can't deny he was a terrible shortstop this year. But I would think the arm just, there was an issue. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on the defense, not the offense, because that's the same offense we saw those 2 years. We saw really good defense, lousy offense. This year we saw lousy offense, lousy defense. I'm willing to give him a break on the defense because we haven't seen lousy defense, but we have seen consistent lousy offense throughout his entire career. So I'm not going to give him a break on the shoulder. So he doesn't deserve to be the starting shortstop, but Bichette can't be the shortstop for more than a year. If you look at his metrics, and again, defensive metrics are a little shaky, but two things that jump out at you, if you look at his numbers here, if you're breaking down Bichette, his defense is atrocious, and if you look at his sprint speed, he is slowing down at an enormous clip. I don't know if there's another player in Major League Baseball who in the last 2 years has lost more speed than Bichette. Now, a part of it is the injury. He's been injury prone, but athletically, he's losing it. He can still hit. He can roll out of bed and hit 300. Like, I believe he's that kind of hitter, and that's why I would want him still. But he plays shortstop probably not every day, but for 1 year. And then I would move him to third base. I would move him to second base. I'd rather move him to third so he doesn't have to move that much. I'd rather move him to third. But if you sign Bichette, you know it's not long-term at shortstop. So I can't trade Lindor and then bring in Bichette. I still got to find a shortstop. I mean, and, you know, they might be able to find that through the system, but I wouldn't be interested in that. I still think Lindor is a hell of a player. I've changed enough of this core. I need Lindor and Soto to be right there at the forefront of this team. I'm not interested in moving Lindor. Mike in Manhattan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Chris, Eddie from Rockman, brother. Got through.
What's going, Eddie? What's up?
What's happening, brother? Congratulations again.
Thank you.
But I got a couple things, quick things. No joking around. First of all, serious note, you know, this is probably very proud of your family, your mother and your aunt. They're going to walk around when you're on TV. There's a new dynamic, man. You're the head honcho now. You're the breadwinner of the family. So this is going to be a new dynamic in that house. I know an Italian household when the son brings home the biggest paycheck. So I'm pretty sure that make your family proud and everything.
I think they've been proud of me. But yes, thank you very much. I don't know.
The women crow a little bit more when their baby boy's bringing home the big bread. So there'll be a different dynamic between 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock at the TV in Warwick.
Yeah, maybe.
And on And the other thing, you know when Mike did the whole thing with Piazza? Do you think he had the power? You think you're going to do things like that? Say, like, Shane needs to go, right?
Yeah.
We all agree Shane needs to go. I heard there's whispers that they're going to extend him for a year. Mm-hmm. Now, you might go to the afternoon, and you might have the power to, you know, convince him to go.
I don't think I will have that power, and thanks for the call, Eddie. And I'm sure I'll still talk to you on Saturdays. I don't know. I'm going to say what I still say now. I'm not going to push to fire anybody. I might push. And again, that was to acquire Piazza. I really don't feel like standing on a soapbox screaming someone needs to be fired, but I've said it. And if it's what I believe, I'll say it in the afternoon as I said it here. But one, I think he's coming back. I think it's a lock. I don't think they'll give him the extension, but I do think he's coming back for a year. I don't think there's any doubt about it at this point. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know, you know, this whole Italian household thing that you got, this theory that you got that they're going to walk around suddenly because, and again, you have no idea how big the bread is I'm bringing in. Eddie talks like he knows what's going on here. He knows he's already spent my money. 888, he knows how much I'm making. You have no idea. 888-808-1019. It's a promotion, so it comes with what you think it comes with, but, like, Ramon Flushing, what's up, Ramon?
First off, Happy New Year, Chris, and God bless you.
Happy New Year to you, sir. What's going on?
All right. First off, I emphasize with you about the whole shift change thing. I've been there and done that for going, you know, for working days early in the morning.
Yep.
And then you have to work nights.
Yep.
You know, it's a whole life change thing, and it doesn't happen overnight. You know what I mean?
No. Well, I mean,
but you made me feel so old when you told me that you were 12 years old in 96.
12 years old in 96, I know.
That's what you told me.
It's true. Nico
on the other. And you're on sports radio, you know what I mean? But there's so many sports that you've missed.
Well, of course.
Are you a Giant fan or a Jet fan?
I'm a Giant fan.
Right. So you didn't see Lawrence Taylor play.
I didn't see him at his best. I did see him play. I remember some of the early 90s years.
I know his whole career. That's what I'm saying. But you're not even old enough to have seen Lawrence Taylor play.
Correct. Not at his best.
Are you a Knick fan?
I'm a Knick fan.
And you never saw Bernard King?
Never saw Bernard King. Nope.
Oh, man. Yep. That's what I'm saying. I feel like you're a kid.
I hear you. I know. I mean,
you guys play, man.
Of course.
And Bernard King, I'm telling you. And that's what
somewhere there's a 90-year-old man saying, you know, who you didn't see. But that's what I'm saying. Somewhere there's a, you ever see Y.A. Tittle play? Huh? I bet you never saw, you know, George Mikan. But, no, thank you. I'm 42. I feel like that's, I just turned 42. I feel like that's pretty old. Nico on the other side was born in 1999. Forget 12 years old in the World Series in 96. He wasn't born yet. It's crazy. That's what makes you feel old. I told you again, my son is going to graduate. We were talking about this at New Year's, the class of 2035. It's crazy. Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
First things first.
I pop a freak all the honeys.
Dummies, Playboy bunnies, those wanting money.
Yep.
Those are the ones I like because they don't get Nathan, but I digress.
Yes.
I can't say the next line. The next word.
That's nice.
I don't think I can, but if you know the song, you know. But how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
Congrats
to you, Moose.
The new gig.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yes. So I hate to break it to you, and you kind of hinted at this, and you're fighting it, and yes, I may want us to have the highest draft pick overall, and yes, I want to see Jackson Dart do well, but you know the Cowboys are going to do, Jerry Jones is a sinister MF-er. He's going to try to ruin the Giants draft stock and position, I think he's trying to lose this game on purpose. And you know it too, C-Mac. You know he's trying to lose his game. And I'm not telling people to put money on it that the Giants are going to win, because you never know, something fluky might happen. They may or may not cover. They may or not win. May or may not win. But something's telling me Jerry Jones might literally one series play all his starters and tell, make a call down to the field and tell his offensive and defensive coordinators, run generic plays so the Giants can win and pick 7 or 8. I'm afraid of that.
Yeah, I doubt he's thinking that way. I really do. I doubt he's thinking that way. I think he just wants to keep Dak healthy. I think he understands that it's not worth it. Maybe they want to just improve their draft stock to whatever, but it's the end of the season. This is what you do typically. I really don't think he's trying to screw the Giants. By losing the game to the Giants, I don't think that's the case. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Have you or a family member been diagnosed with early-stage non-small cell lung cancer that can be removed by surgery? Consider talking to an oncologist about your treatment options. Why? Because knowing your options before you have surgery can help your care team develop a treatment plan that's right for you. Learn about a potential treatment plan before and after surgery at askbeforesurgery.com. That's askbeforesurgery.com. And talk to an oncologist before your surgery.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We had a lot of college over the last couple days. Final Four is set up. Miami, Ole Miss, and Oregon against Indiana. The Dante Moore versus Mendoza. As the New York Jets are going to be looking for a quarterback, and the New York Giants, if they can lose this game against the Dallas Cowboys, which to me is imperative, if Dante Moore plays well. Now, he didn't play very well in this game yesterday. Not that he needed to, as they completely shut down Texas Tech offensively. And it was a 23-0 route. What did he do in the game? 26 of 33, 234 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. I mean, he didn't have to do all that much. They were able to run the football a little bit. Not even really. 64 yards rushing. And that's taking sacks into account, but they really were just able to dominate this football game defensively. Turnovers, two interceptions from Morton and Texas Tech held them to 78 yards rushing and obviously shut them out. So we'll see. They're going to both be on display. And if Moore has a good game, you would think, considering the lack of other big-time quarterbacks and what's going to come next year, if Moore has a big-time game or plays well in this game against Indiana, you would think he would come out. The Giants desperately need him to. Giants desperately need him to make sure that second pick, you need it. If they have it, you want as many quarterbacks out as possible. I was just reading about Trinidad Chambliss, who is probably the quarterback of Ole Miss, as he pulled off the upset last night and beat Georgia and played incredibly well. And right now, he has probably played as well as any quarterback in this tournament right now. And he is eligible for the draft this year. Now, he's asked for another year of eligibility from Ole Miss. I guess he's petitioned to be able to play one more year with Ole Miss. I was just reading an article. I don't think that would impact him if he gets it, doesn't get it, even if they allow him or he gets a positive answer on that request, he could still enter the NFL draft. I am not sure where Trinidad Chambliss sits currently in, you know, what people expect him to be as a quarterback draft prospect if he were to enter the draft, but I can tell you this is where names are made. And again, next year's draft class is supposed to be a big-time draft pass of quarterbacks. If he has, you know, he's one win away against the Miami team that's beatable. Good, not trying to knock Miami. They just had a great win against Ohio State and played incredibly well. And I'm not saying Ole Miss right now, and the whole, obviously, story with them, it's a good story. Good for Joe Judge, what's going on with Ole Miss. And obviously, Lane Kiffin sending out tweets and all the stuff. And obviously, I just saw that he gets an incentive. He gets money for winning this because it triggers incentives in his contract for winning. I can't. That's fun. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but it's a good story for Ole Miss to go on this run after everything that happened with Lane Kiffin. But if Trinidad Chambliss continues to play like this and he finds himself in the national championship game or anything, if things get crazy for him, I could see him entering the draft and seeing where his name goes. These are big games, and he played incredibly well to beat Georgia last night. Get as many quarterbacks in this draft class as possible, please. Please. 888-808-1019. And also, we were just talking about Billy Joel. I mentioned him earlier about being able to sing and talking about how Billy Joel is kind of like in the alley of tone for me. It's easy to sing Billy Joel songs. How about this? Apparently, a French model. I lost the article now, but a French model that was named in We Didn't Start the Fire. There were 59 people. 59 people named. 59 individuals named in We Didn't Start the Fire, the classic Billy Joel huge hit, 1989, which I know all the words to. But 59 people were named in that song. Now, with the passing of, I had the article, I'll give it to you in a little bit, but it was a female 91-year-old, I believe she was a French model. But she passed away, and now there are only 3 names left who are alive. Of the 59 people, you want to talk about feeling old? That's what we're talking about, feeling old. Chubby Checker, Bob Dylan, and Bernie Getz are the only 3 names in Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire who are currently still alive. Only 3 left. Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio. Yeah, right there. None of them. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. As we do feel old at the turning of the new year, 2026. Back when I actually wrote, like in school, it would be a problem because you'd keep writing the wrong year. I don't write anything with the... I don't know, you know, my line of profession, we don't write all that much. Checks are pretty much a thing of the past. Every once in a while, I'll write a check. But when's the last time I dated anything? That used to be an issue when you were in school. Oh, the new year. Oh, I have to cross it out. I put 25 again. Put 25. Now I don't write anything. You don't have to worry about making that mistake. It's one of the things you miss as technology has taken over the world. You miss the first couple weeks of January writing the last year when you would date pieces of paper or write a check. Now you don't have to worry about that anymore. Kenny in Newcastle. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, how you making out?
I'm making out all right. How are you making out?
I'm doing good. I like calling every once in a while in New York because, like I said, I'm a Phillies fan. I'm over here in Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
I really like what you said about five callers ago with Lindor. You got to keep him. I think you could free up some money now that what Alonzo with the Orioles now. I think you could get another infielder, and I think you need some pitching because last year your pitching really got hurt early on, and I think you could have gave us more of a battle in the playoffs if you didn't have pitchers that were hurt. I like talking baseball. It's one of my favorite sports.
Yeah, sure. No, love talking baseball. Yeah, I mean, obviously the pitching fell apart for the Mets. Pitching absolutely fell apart for the Mets. Really, from the moment Senga got hurt when Alonso threw the ball a little too high for him and he pulled his hamstring, that was really the beginning of the end. Waiting all year for Manaea, and when he came back, he wasn't very good. Took him a while before he even gave you a couple of good starts by the end of the season. Peterson completely, after being one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball for almost a year and a half, completely fell apart for them to the point where he was unpitchable. They had injuries too, obviously. Griffin Canning, who was one of the real stories of the Mets season at the beginning of the year, got hurt and tore his Achilles. Clay Holmes was steady for them but didn't give a lot of innings. Even the pitchers who pitched well by the end didn't give a lot of innings. And all they had by the end was McLean. So they need to do something with the rotation, obviously. We know they have to impact the starting rotation. It is a must. And this Imai contract feels like a contract that the Mets could have been on. Like, I'm going to tell you that I don't know if I love the pitcher. I don't know. We've never seen him pitch. Never saw Yamamoto pitch. He's been worth every penny. This is now the third behind Yamamoto and Tanaka, the third largest guaranteed contract money to a Japanese pitcher in Major League history, but it's still nothing compared to what we thought it was going to be. Nothing. His market completely collapsed. The rest of Major League Baseball, not just the Mets, not just the Yankees, the rest of Major League Baseball told you they don't know how to value this pitcher. And he signed a 3-year deal with opt-outs after the first two, in each one of the first 2 years. It's guaranteed at $18 million per, with as much as $21 million per, for like 80, 90, and 100 innings. And I think if he hits it in the first year, it locks in for the rest of the contract. So it's a 3-year, $63 million deal, as long as he pitches at all. If he gives you 80, 90, and 100, if he pitches 100 innings, it's $21 million a year for 3 years. But it was supposed to be a hell of a lot more than that. And that's why for Stearns and the Mets, the Yankees, I would have been on this too. I'm not trying to make this just I'm surprised that neither team has reported was even interested in him. At $200 million, I get it, right? At a big long-term contract that we thought he might get at the start of the year, considering the rest of the rotation, the rest of the starting pitching that's available in free agency, his strikeout prowess, his fastball, all that stuff, all the talk coming over from Japan, was an excellent dominant starting pitcher over there last year. There was talk with, and now the success of Yamamoto, there was talk of a big time contract for him. And at that point, I would understand it more. We know how the Mets and David Stern think, and the Yankees aren't in the market for that kind of pitcher right now. They don't need that kind of pitcher right now, not unless he's going to be an absolute ace. And even then, right now, I think they feel like they're just looking for another arm that you can add to this rotation. And while, like, I want Peralta, he's an ace, but it's a trade for a 1-year, $8 million thing right now. So Sorry. I thought that if the market collapsed enough, where Stearns would be in on it. And particularly in the opt-out, where if he pitches well, you're not even on the hook. Like, if he pitches bad, you're on the hook, right? But if he pitches well, he probably opts out and looks to hit free agency next year. And he probably will. So he probably won't be an Astro for very long. You would think he's probably going to, if he pitches well to any extent, he's going to want to hit the market after all this CBA is done with. And everyone will understand the new finances of baseball. And if he pitches well, he'll probably get a long-term contract. He's still young enough. So we'll see. But I'm surprised the Mets weren't in on this a little bit more, considering the collapse and what they were able to get him for. At the big number, I understood it. At this level, again, I'm not going to kill them for not doing it. I'm not. I'm not going to kill the Yankees for not doing it. I'm not going to kill them for not doing it. The Yankees, I understand it more. The Mets, I would have thought they would have been on it, but it's fun. I'm not mad at any one. Like, this, if I'm a Met fan, I am not looking at this going, what the hell? But I am looking at the rotation going, what the hell? And at some point, they have to improve it. They have to improve it. So I didn't have to go out and sign Imai, but when it falls to this, I would have considered it. And if you're not going to do this, what are you going to do? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Yeah. Good morning. Happy New Year, Chris.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you, sir.
We're going to miss you up on the overnight, man. It's like we can't talk about the Yankees and the Giants, but the Giants got to lose this game, man. It's like, what the heck? Let me ask you, why is Joe Shane going to be allowed to even oversee the draft? Why is he going to even be allowed to get the next head coach when he might not even be around? Like,
he's
they were making a
he's
point
going to
on
be.
What?
He's going to be around. He's going to be the GM.
And I know you disagree with that, right?
I do disagree with it, but it's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. And what do you think? You think is it a definite thing where the Yankees are going to bring back Bellinger? Is that a definite, or is some other option out there?
Thank you for the call, Stu, and thank you for the calls throughout the last 2.5 years. I can't tell you it's a definite they signed him. I think it's a definite he's their top priority. I think it's without question. That is their choice is to bring – they would if they had their druthers, he would take the 5-year or 4-year contract, whatever they're offering right now, and he's asking for too many years. The reports are it's not the money, it's the years. I don't know what the holdup is. I'm not sure if they have agreed on money and it's just the years or if it's money and the years. I don't know. But reports yesterday from John Heyman is that the Yankees made another offer – or at least an offer. I'm assuming it's another offer, but an offer to Bellinger. I think without question that's what they want. So right now the market for him isn't all that high, and they are going to be aggressive with him. They're going to stick to their number. Jeff Passan reported that he doesn't believe the Yankees will go beyond what they're comfortable with, and right now nobody's forcing them to do so. And they're not going to bid against themselves, and I completely agree with that and understand that. But I still think they are going to be aggressive in bringing back Bellinger. So if I had to say, I would think yes. As of right now, today, I would think Bellinger is coming back. And that's certainly what they want. And if they don't get Bellinger, I think it's trading for an outfielder. Or they run with Dominguez and Spencer Jones. Could they trade for, Donovan has played mostly infield, but he has played left field. I don't know how they view him as a defensive left fielder, but I think Donovan's good. Stephen Kwan, obviously, hasn't been, wasn't as good a hitter this year as Donovan was, but he's an excellent defensive left fielder, Gold Glove winner, and has had offensive seasons where he's tremendous and playing and being a Yankee fan, watching them play against them, you know that he is very, very talented. And it's a tough out. But no, I think what they want to do is sign Bellinger, trade for a starting pitcher. At what level that starting pitcher is, I don't know. But this is the Yankee offseason. Sign Bellinger, trade for a starting pitcher, maybe add one more bullpen arm, maybe two, and then another right-handed piece for the bench. That's the Yankee offseason. Jake in Westchester. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how's it going, C-Mac?
Hey, Jake, what's going on, man? Thank you.
Not much. Hey, congrats on the new gig. Very, very cool to hear and see.
Thank you.
So I want to be a little bit of a David Stearns apologist, if you'll allow me. Cool. So, you know, obviously, I'm a diehard Mets fan. It's brutal losing Pete and Diaz in particular. I think the Diaz situation is really just indicative of the whole, poor bedside manner.
Yes.
Stearns, you know, not really reading the situation well, not informing him of the Devin Williams signing, not talking to him, not reaching out to him, getting rid of the pitching coach, getting rid of Hefner, like, this is, like, table stakes level stuff that he has to get better at. But I do think there's a clear long-term vision here, right? Like, they are trying to clean out, obviously, all the bad contracts, be ready to fire after the new CBA comes into effect. And they're looking at the Dodgers right now, and obviously it's a little weird to look outside the division, but look at the Dodgers, and they're saying, they got a great team. These guys are going to be old in 3 years.
Yeah,
they can have this pipeline of McClain and Sproat and Tong and Benji and, you know, all these young guys that are coming up and supplement them with real studs. You're going to have a 29-year-old, a 30-year-old Soto at that point. Like, they've got a real future in 3 years, in 2 years. I think that's really what they're playing for. And I actually think it's kind of the right move. You know, I'm a Giants fan too. I don't think they have any, you know, clue what they want to be doing in two, three years time. But in the Mets right now, they really see what they're going at. If you'll oblige me, I have one more point about the Giants.
Yeah, okay, real quick.
Your perspective on. Okay, let's say they somehow end up with the one pick. You know, the Chiefs lose, they lose, whatever.
They would still need two other things to happen. Believe it or not. Did you
know
that?
Okay, sure. But let's say it all happens.
Okay.
Why not trade Dart? You know, like, I know it's been brought up in other circles, but why not trade Dart? Look at Mendoza. Look what he just did today against Alabama. Look what he's done all season. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a year younger. He doesn't have the history of the concussions. You can get Dart.
What
for
history of the
concussions?
He's had
right
one
now,
concussion.
The coach is going to come in.
He's had one concussion. What do you mean the history of the concussions?
Well, he's got at least two confirmed ones. This season alone.
No, he doesn't.
Whatever's been going on earlier in his career. But besides that point, like, I love Dart. I think he's great.
Yeah.
Well, why not go for the guy who's a year younger?
Because he's not.
But anyway,
I'm
curious about the Mets.
Because he's not proven. He's never played a game in the NFL, and I like what I've seen in the NFL from Jackson Dart. I don't know what Mendoza's going to be. I know Jackson Dart can play in the NFL. I've seen it. I've seen him beat the Chiefs, Chargers. I've seen him beat the Eagles. I've seen him play extremely well in almost every game he's played in. I don't know what Mendoza's going to be. Yeah, I mean, listen, he didn't play. I'm not trying to tell you he didn't play well. He played extremely well in this game. But, he didn't have to do much. They absolutely kicked the crap out of Alabama. They kicked the crap out of Alabama. Again, I'm not knocking his performance. It was a very good performance. It was a winning performance. He threw three touchdown passes. But, I mean, he completed, what was it? Let me just double check. I think he completed 16 passes.
Dart is also only 5 months older, by the way, so that's really not
right,
that big
exactly,
of a difference.
Right, exactly, yeah. So, he completed 14 of 16 passes. I mean, that's obviously good for 192 yards and three touchdowns. That's a great day. No interceptions. I'm not trying to tell you it's not a great day. They beat the crap out of Alabama 38-3. 38-3. Alabama couldn't run the ball. Simpson got knocked out of the game. Like, it was a winning performance. He threw three touchdown passes. We didn't have to do anything. He's 5 months younger. Now, you do get the extra year of control, sure. But I got 4 more years of control of Jackson Dart right now. And I've seen him play. I'm not messing with that. I think that's insane. And he doesn't have a concussion history, and he doesn't have two confirmed concussions this year. He's got one. One concussion. Drake May's got concussion history too. He got a concussion last year. I don't ever remember. He's not Tua, who's had multiple concussions. I don't know where this talk came from. Now, as far as, like, you know, the Mets don't get the benefit of the doubt. I'm sorry. Like, this is the thing. It's a win the World Series or bust mentality. That's what happens when you sign Soto and you have the richest owner in baseball and you're trying to be the Mets and everyone's talking about being Big Brother last year. If the plan wasn't, well, we'll be good in 3 years. We're going to wait out this Dodger run and then try and compete. You don't get that. You don't get to say, oh, listen, well, you know, the Dodgers are going to be old in 3 years. So we're just going to sit out this Dodger run, let them win five consecutive World Series, and then when they're at their weakest, we'll pounce. You got to go out there and put a team forward every single year to win a championship, to attempt to win a championship. You can't just sit back and say, well, the Dodgers' steam is running out in 2 or 3 years. Now, it doesn't mean you can't make smart moves. Doesn't mean means you can't build towards the future at times, but you have to supplement a team that's good enough to win. Right now, you have to make the 2026 Mets good enough to win a championship, good enough to compete for a championship. Can't just sit back and not do anything and say, "Well, in 3 years, we'll really have it cooking." There are teams who can do that. The New York Mets, with the highest payroll in baseball last year and the richest owner in baseball and a lot of promises, and in the New York market and a Met fan base that's been, you know, waiting for the day that they've joined the ranks of the Yankees and the Dodgers and it's World Series or bust, it's here. It's here. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break. We'll come back and finish up the final hour. We'll say good morning and we'll take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on the Fan.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Have you or a family member been diagnosed with early-stage non-small cell lung cancer that can be removed by surgery? Consider talking to an oncologist about your treatment options. Why? Because knowing your options before you have surgery can help your care team develop a treatment plan that's right for you. Learn about a potential treatment plan before and after surgery at askbeforesurgery.com. That's askbeforesurgery.com. And talk to an oncologist before your surgery.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.